We come to strip ourselves, I in particular strip myself, Lord, of every confidence I may have in my knowledge and what I prepared alone. My confidence is in your mercy to be a faithful steward. And Lord, you add mercy abundantly to me. And Lord, great grace and help to be able to bring forth this word as a word in season. As I speak, Lord God, let this word go forth as a river of life of refreshing, bringing refreshing to all. That wherever this word goes in all the earth, your power will back it to cause men not to be hearers only, but to be doers of that which they hear, and therefore be blessed in all they do in the name of Jesus. I ask, Lord, as I speak, you'll help me to be concise, to be precise, not to say anything unnecessary. I strip myself of every confidence, Lord God, in myself alone, and I ask, Lord, you make me a pure chalice. And Lord, your word will flow freely from you through me to the people. As I speak, you'll make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer to write your word and your will upon the hearts of all the people that hear this word, causing our minds to be more enlightened by revelation knowledge, causing our wills to be more humble, submitted to your will, and causing our emotions to be tempered even more by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, especially divine love, in the name of Jesus. And I want to thank you for my fathers. I humble myself under their covering now, and I take upon me their mantles, asking you help them to bring forth this word and deliver it as they would were they here personally, so that, Lord God, this word as we speak will go forth as a river of life, bringing refreshing to all of us present here, all those that hear it, but especially unto them, that as they drink and eat of this vine which they have planted all these years, they will be tremendously satisfied with the travail of their souls in and through me. I thank you, Father, because you are faithful. You will not lie to David. That which you have spoken, you are well able to perform. Your faithfulness will not fail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He's doing a new thing. Amen. And it's coming forth before our very eyes. But I believe it has a present truth application to Nigeria first, but then to other countries, you know, as the Holy Spirit wills and as the Holy Spirit expands these words. And as they, of course, align with the purposes and the plans of God. Amen. And the genesis of this message was the word that Mommy brought, I think, 2 weeks ago, 2 Tuesdays ago, when we were praying for our nation, Nigeria. She brought specifically a word concerning Nigeria in 3 words. One, recovery. Second word was restoration. And the third word was release. Recovery, restoration, and release. And we said, or she said also, that all these things are going to happen in this new year of new beginnings, 2016. Amen? 16 is 8 times 2, which is a witness of new beginnings in our land. And so she said all these things. And I believe, as she was saying that, I was here too, praying. We're all praying together. The Lord, I believe, spoke to my heart then. And at the time he spoke, I understood what he was trying to say, but I did not understand the full significance until, you know, gradually over time, you know, how God builds up the word and so on and so forth. I actually started, you know, developing the word by the help of the Holy Spirit in my heart. But for some reason, well, if I know what the reasons are, I had 1 or 2 challenges in the past couple of weeks. I was not able to put it all together, you know. So as it developed, other people were preaching, and as they were preaching, they were adding to it. Pastor Andrew preached a portion of that message. Pastor preached 2 messages in that regard. So I know everything is coming together by the help of the Holy Spirit. So I bring this word today, and I have titled it, Obtaining the Treasures of Darkness and Hidden Riches. Amen. That sounds like something that one of us or 2 of us here might want to do. Obtaining the treasures of darkness, or obtaining treasures of darkness and hidden riches. Amen. We're going to start in Isaiah chapter 45. And what I'll do, I'll first of all read where this particular verse comes from. And then we'll back up a little bit and we'll see how it goes. Isaiah 45 verse 3. Isaiah 45 verse 3. Let's read together, please. Are we ready? Are we ready? Okay, let me hear your voice now. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. This was the word that the Lord spoke to me as we were praying that day, and they said, now the Lord will give us the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places in Nigeria. And I said, it applies to Nigeria in the first instance for a very important reason. Nigeria is the first of the first fruits of this end time and also to the nations of the earth. So the Lord says, now, I believe, he said, now is the time to give us the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. Now, the question I first of all asked, which, blew up the whole thing in my heart, was to whom were these words written? Who did God speak these words to? And also answer that question, you have to go to the book of Isaiah, back up a bit to verse 28. We'll start from there. Excuse me. Verse 28. Isaiah 44:28. Thank you. Hello. Isaiah 44:28. Now, this particular verse, it begins all the way back from about verse 20 thereabouts. You can read it later on. You know, it's talking to about what God is going to do in this end. Well, not it applies to the end time, but it also applied to what was going on at that time. But here's the person he was talking to. He was talking to a person by the name of Cyrus. I don't even know who Cyrus is. One or two of us. Okay, we'll get there in a minute. It says, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. Now that's a strange thing. Cyrus was a heathen king. But here's the Lord calling a heathen king his shepherd. And shall do what? Perform all. That word is very, 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 very significant. There's only one other person in the whole of Scripture that God said this about. Acts chapter 20, 22 verse thereabouts. It says, and I found in Jesse, the son of David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all. There you go. Who will do all my will. This time says all my pleasure, but the key word there is all. So here's a man who God has looked upon his heart and has found him faithful to do all that he wants him to do. Amen. So it says, the same size is my shepherd, he shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. That's also very critical there. Because when you lay a foundation, what are you doing? God says, if the foundations be destroyed, what do? You rebuild them. But the essence of a foundation is a new beginning. You can't build without having a foundation. So if you want to start a building, where do you begin? At the foundation. If you want to have a new beginning, what do? You lay a foundation. Amen. Now this is Cyrus, a heathen king, who did not even believe or know about the Lord God of heaven and earth until he saw his name in the Bible. God is wonderful. This was prophesied thousands of years before he was even born. That's how marvelous God is. Amen. But the essence is God raised this heathen king up. Think prophetically now. God raises heathen king up in response to the prayers of Daniel and others. Daniel, the four Hebrew kids in Babylon at that time. They understood by the books, or Daniel understood by the books. And so they began to pray concerning the promise of God that they would send people to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, lay the foundation, and build the wall. So they began to pray. So in essence, he was an answer of prayer by God, who now made it possible for the Jews in Babylon to return to Jerusalem to lay the foundation of the temple. Now, when I said, do you know who Cyrus is? Somebody said, no. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 36, the last two verses in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 22 to 23. We want to put a foundation. Like I said, foundation laying implies there's a new beginning for the temple of the Lord or the people of the Lord. Are we following so far? Now, this is Cyrus. Now, in the first year. Now. In the first year. Now. Not later. When? In the first year. Still didn't get it. Now. In the first year of Cyrus. Forget the king of Persia. King of Nigeria, right? The word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah, might be accomplished. What did God do? But I said, Lord, stir up the spirit of Cyrus king. And he made the proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it in writing, saying, next verse, thus saith Cyrus king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him. Let him go up. Hello, somebody. That sounds to me like a release of some sort. Anyway. Well, maybe you don't agree, but anyway, that's it. But basically, but the question is this. The point is, Cyrus was chosen and anointed, even though he was a heathen king who did not know. And God says he's going to do all of his pleasure. Just like David. Amen, folks. The point is, God looks upon the heart. Bible says God doesn't look as man looketh. Amen, oh. He has the Lord run to and from the whole earth, not just in Jerusalem and Judah. The whole earth. Thank you. In Nigeria. Amen. And it's not looking for saints. Now, thank God, saints should be there. But it's looking for anybody that will align their will with his will so he can use them. Amen. And he says he'll show himself strong on the behalf of him whose heart is perfect. Perfect doesn't that mean perfect, like there's no sin. But a heart that, like Pastor was saying on Sunday, you know, we're talking about praying for life partners for children. Said, he who is willing to do all the will of God. He might not even know that God, but you see, that person has a tendency to do righteousness. He may not know the things we know. He doesn't know growing us, but there's something inside him that tends to want to do righteousness. And in the process of doing that, he comes to discover the true God. Because look what this guy says. He says, all the kingdoms on the earth, talking about being strong on behalf of him. This is being strong on the behalf. God gave him all the kingdoms of the major kings of the earth, the whole empire, to give him to Cyrus. Because God had a purpose. And he was the one that would do it. Bible says God raises one up and puts down another. But given that he says, had the God of, who told him was the Lord God of heaven? When he opened his heart to him, God spoke. I'm going somewhere with all this. Amen. But the essence is this. Now, back to Isaiah 45, chapter 3. Isaiah 45, 3. So this is Cyrus. Oh, my goodness. We have to learn, folks, we have to learn that God can use anybody. He used a donkey once, just to show you how omnipotent he is. All that donkey has to do is to be willing to do God's pleasure. Let his heart just be aligned. And he will use him. It's not us alone, folks. God has people that we do. If I say the other sheep of this flock that are not even coming yet. And they have hearts that are right now just waiting for something to trigger. And then you see them begin to move. That Joel's army. That Ezekiel's army. Out there. Thousands of them all over the world. Anyway. So the Lord says to this heathen king, that he's going to give this heathen king, verse 3, Isaiah 45, 3, yeah. So he's going to give this heathen king the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. Why? There's a reason. The lesser reason is so that Cyrus may come to know the God of heaven. That thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, and the God of Israel. So, in the process of doing the will of God, for a God that he did not know, he now comes to know the will of who God is, and now aligns his will fully with what God wants to do. We're speaking prophetically. Amen. The second reason, the greater reason, let's go to verse 4 now. And for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have even called thee by name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. So the second greater reason was because of Jacob and Israel. Which means that there was twofold reason for this heathen king being appointed at that time. One, so that he himself, because, you see, Bible says his heart was perfect. Well, God didn't say that, but me. The essence of that is that his heart was perfect because he's my shepherd. He will do all of my will. Which means he had a heart inclination towards God. So to bring him, because of that heart inclination, closer to God, so he will now come to recognize the God of Israel, which he did. And the second reason was so to facilitate what God wanted to do during his reign for the church of God in Israel. Hello? So, question is, how does all this apply to us in Nigeria? Help me, Lord. Beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. First of all, we too have a king in Nigeria who does not know God. He's a Cyrus. You know, we've been saying this since. That was the man who said, how David a type of Cyrus. Well, I remember me. Thank God for a moment. God bless that lady. You know, when she wrote that, when she, you know, spoke that thing out, and I wrote it then, I said, how can David be a type of Cyrus? It's like a paradox. But look what we see here. The same heart. I mean, we need to be careful. We just look at them and say, the moment that you don't know what God has done. Can you imagine? And that was just on the fly, so to speak. Which is God was already preparing, and we didn't know. We were just praying. Thank God we prayed. What am I saying? We have a heathen king also. Amen. Who does not know or believe in the God of Israel? So let's say we have a type of size. Now, I believe that Buhari was not God's perfect will. Because God could have done it many different ways. But like Pastor Mommy told us, when he was elected, he was either the permissive or the acceptable of God. But the essence is that he's there. God is the one that put him there for a purpose. Amen? And we like to know because God could not override the will of the majority of Nigerians who wanted him. Amen? God is a God of sovereignty, but he also gave a free will. And he must always, because he's not a man to lie, nor the son of man to repent. The Bible says the gifts and the calling of God are what? Without repentance. So he could not override the overwhelming will of Nigerians, and so he gives us a Cyrus. Amen? But that's not the end of the matter. Secondly, no matter what you can say about Buhari's politics, no matter what you say about the way he does his things, he's slow, he's this, he's baba go slow, blah, 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 all those kind of things, there's one thing that we can say. He has an honest passion for Nigeria. That is without doubt. He may not do it the way we want him to do it, but you can see the passion is evident for the Nigerian state and the peoples of Nigeria. There's a guy that told, I think I was reading in a magazine, or was it a magazine, it was in a newspaper. They said you should devalue the Naira. He says, why would I devalue the Naira? I said, no. So he's not willing to devalue the Naira no matter what, because it will bring hardship to the people of Nigeria. And he's not interested in making life harder for Nigeria. Say, life is hard for them already. Amen. Now, that's a person, I mean, he didn't have to say all that. He would just have said no. But he gave it. He said, the reason why, you know, he's not doing it is because he has a heart for the people. Pastor Kawale was sharing me, and Sister Keji was sharing me yesterday, I won't go into details, about somebody in his cabinet, or in, you know, one of the, under one of the ministers in his cabinet. This is a real story. Pastor Kawale, may I just give the overall? I'm not going to mention names, right? And, you know, it kind of even buttressed what I was, you know, going to preach today. There's a guy who, a person who is underneath one of the new ministers. Amen? And, you know, this mantra of change has been going around. But we're discovering, dear, that there are many of them, or some of them, I'm not saying many, there will not be many in Jesus' name, but some don't want the change. They prefer the status quo because it allows them to finagle and do certain things. Anyway, this person I'm talking about, is under siege because this person is standing in righteousness. And so anything that is less than righteous, this person cancels. So, when the Oga at the top sends people there, go and meet that person and take a note or take a card. You know how we do it in Nigeria. You take a card, signature, one. So the other person that the carries there must humble himself and do what Oga the top is saying. Eh? But this person, standing in righteousness, not being worried about it, says, you don't qualify. Can't give you. He's not allowing us to change. So, the other two went there and said, Oga, they don't qualify. I cannot, in all conscience, put an unqualified person in a place that we want to mess the whole thing up. And cut a long story short, this Oga sends around, and he goes and tells Oga at the top, that is Cyrus, that there's one fellow here that's blocking your progress. So the Oga at the top now sends out his own people. Go and check this person out. What in the earth is the number You know how you have to find a number so that when you present that number, the person will just fall. So they went and did all the marabous, they did all the checking, and they found out that the person don't get a number. See? The person just is righteous. They've never seen that kind before. How can a person not have a loophole? No loophole. See, the girl, person, righteous, just refuses to bend the rules. But if you qualify, you get. But if you don't qualify, no way. Big problem, because they're talking millions of ego, serious ego. And recall, long story short, when they went to report back, talking about, you know, the heart of our Cyrus, and now this person, when he went back and reported, he said, this person has no agenda. The only thing that the person talks about is her father, as he cannot dishonor her father. Not natural father. Say, okay. You know what they say? This is real life. Confirmed. The person was given. You know what they said? This our president said. He said, leave her alone. She's my daughter. Can you give the Lord a clap offering for that? You see, we don't know. Can you imagine for? And this is a person that he won't take anything to just get rid of. Can just one phone call. That's the end of it. So leave her there. My daughter. Nobody touch her. That's a good one. That really blessed me. Because, you know, and it also made me understand that God is in control. Amen? So he has a good heart to fulfill all of God's will so that God can move and fulfill his will for Nigeria. He's begun recovery. And he's going to do restoration. And he's starting in his first year. He didn't wait. First year. Folks, Nigeria, it is well with Nigeria. Tell him it's well with Nigeria. But it all is backed up by the prayer of the saints. So I said that to them, like, we have a Cyrus by the grace of God. And through the prayers of his church, the Bible says, if my people call by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear and heal their land. Thank God for those who are humbling themselves. Thank God who are seeking his face. Thank God who are praying with supplication, with all kinds of prayer, Lord, seeking the will of God for Nigeria, giving thanks so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and in... Hello, that's it. In godliness and in honesty. And God is listening and is hearing our prayers. Amen? All right. Because God works in the earth. So, under these conditions, the Lord now gives. Now, it's under these conditions that we've, you know, given. The Lord will now give to this heathen king, our heathen king. Amen? The treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. Now, what does this mean prophetically? Amen? The scripture, as you understand, the pastor has told you many times, is both literal as well as symbolic, or, you know, prophetic, as you say. So, I'm sure, very sure, that God rewarded the original Cyrus with great wealth. I mean, lots of wealth. I mean, Bible says, all the kingdoms of the earth has he given me. But in our own sense, it means something a bit different. It means that it is not that God will give him, in a sense that God will make him, in fact, that will be a negation of who he is, really. Because he's an austere man by the grace of God. All these things are not by chance. Nothing happens by chance. You know? But I don't think he's going to come and enrich himself and make himself, you know, like some people. Oh, dear God. What's going to happen is this. During his reign of our prophetic Cyrus in this land, God is now going to bring that recovery. He's going to cause a restoration, and he's going to cause a release of the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches in secret places. So, in effect, all this is going to be given to him in his reign through the prayers of the Zion Church as the Zion Church arises. So they will say it was during this Cyrus's reign that the treasures of darkness were made manifest and the hidden riches of secret places came out of the land where the rivers divide beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Through the Zion Church. How do I know? The Zion Church is key. He is also a key, but the Zion Church is the key. How do I know? Give me 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 18, 19, quickly. It has to be through the Zion Church. And David is what? a type of the Zion church. The Bible calls this church the end time church, the tabernacle of David. It says, and David what? Recovered some. That the Amalekites is a type of the flesh. So, prophetically speaking, the flesh had stolen from David everything. But in this season, David will turn the tables. And he will recover all that the Amalekites have carried away. Forget about the two wives. I don't know what David will do with two wives in the desert. That's another story for another time. But that's what it says, that the Zion church will recover all. All is very significant. What is this? Why is all significant? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20, it says that God of peace sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. Give that. 1 Corinthians, yeah, thank you. And the very God of peace do what? Sanctify you wholly, all. And I pray God your all, spirit, soul, and body be what? Preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can add in us in fullness. So, very significant. So, there was nothing lacking to David. Amen? Now, that's recovery. Restoration. Oh, hallelujah. Restoration, again, it has application to the church, the Zion church. Give me Joel chapter 2, 23, 24. Joel 2, 23. Hello, somebody. We're talking about recovery, restoration, and release. A day of death. 2:23. Thank you. Be glad then. Hello, let's read together. Be glad then. When? Now. Ye children of Zion. Hello, children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and that rain. The essence here is that he's talking to the Zion church, the children of Zion. Amen? Talking about the outpouring of the former and the latter rain together. Amen? Now, go to verse 24. Hello? Verse 24. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. So, but the essence is that there's going to be an outpouring of an abundance. Amen? Restoration. Next verse. And I will do what? Restore to you. You who? The children of Zion. The years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the powerworm, my great army I send among you. Next verse. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Essence again, the Zion church is the key. Amen? And so this is it. So through the Zion church, there's a recovery, there's a restoration of the nation, and beyond Nigeria, incidentally. Because if you remember, it says later on in that verse, it says, and there, after this, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. But the trigger, the key, is the Zion church in Nigeria. I'll share with somebody, I think it was it Pastor or the Pastor Tunji? I can't remember who I shared that. Nigeria is the trigger for Africa. I saw something on the TV the other day. Talking about this. Said Tony Elumelu's foundation said, your idea can transform Africa. I said, not only Africa, the world. But they got the right track. And so the effects of this recovery and the restoration will be a release and a thrusting forth of the church and Nigeria at first into Jubilee. And then from then on to all the nations of the earth as when Nigeria arises. Amen. Give me Psalms 102 verse 13 and 16. Hello somebody. Psalms 102. And so the whole earth will be blessed as a result of the Zion church and thrust into a season of new beginnings. Look what it says. And thou shalt what? And have. That's where Pastor Andrew's message comes in. Mercy for fresh start. God is going to add. No, he's already doing it. But he's adding mercy to us. Pastor Andrew's message on, you know, the mercy of the Lord the other day, you know, to apprehend all the promises in Isaiah 61. It says, thou shalt have, arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time has come. And so the whole earth will be blessed through the Zion church as we are thrust into this season of new beginnings. And the Bible says the Gentiles will come to our light and kings to come to our brightness. Notice I was saying, Pastor, what? I said, the Gentiles may come, will come to our light, but the kings will not come except it is profitable for them to do so economically. Kings don't come looking for miracles. They come looking for money. The kings of the earth, the barons of the earth, they are motivated purely by profit motive. So they have to see something that is bringing them here beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. What on, can any good thing come out of Africa? But they'll see. So they'll see because they'll come, because they'll see something in Zion that they lack. The Bible says the whole earth is going to come to the mountain of the Lord's house, to the place of the house of the God of Jacob. For the house of God of Jacob will be exalted above every mountain, all nations. Didn't say kings. The nations will flow into it because they want to come and learn of the ways of the God of Jacob and come. But the kings of the earth, they will come because they see glory of riches and wealth. You know, keep praying that prayer. Just keep on praying. Let's be encouraged. It says Nigeria will be a place of abundant investment and investment activity. It's happening before our very eyes. It's happening in a measure. We see them coming. I will talk about that later. Let me not get ahead of myself. Anyway, so as the gospel of the king, now this marks a new beginning for Nigeria, but also it marks a new beginning for the nations of the world. The Lord told me, Pastor Andrew, he said that mercy is not just for the church. But that mercy is for the whole of the earth. God wants to start afresh with all mankind. He's just looking for a conduit. You know, we pray here on Tuesday, I say, you know, releasing mercy into the earth for the benefit of others. That's what we've been doing. And God is going to use that mercy, and through the preaching of the gospel by the Zion Church, He will start all mankind afresh. All, let me put it this way. He'll give an opportunity for all mankind to start afresh. Because now they will say, this is our God. We have waited. Let's start afresh with Him. So this is critical stuff here now, by the grace of God. Amen. So it's not about us, but about His divine purposes. But in order for it to happen, there must be a recovery, restoration, and release of the treasures of darkness. We're back to that. And the hidden riches stored in secret places. Now, what are these treasures of darkness? What are the hidden riches in secret places? Where is the darkness, the place of darkness where we find these treasures? Where are the secret places? First of all, let's look at treasure. What is treasure prophetically? Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. Colossians 2, 2. That their hearts, let's read together, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Now there's a unity in love demonstrated there. Unto all the riches of the full assurance, what? Let's back up again. We didn't get it. Let's read together. That their hearts, so it's a work in the heart, might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches, now what are the riches? Of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, Christ in us, the hope of glory, and of the Father, and of Christ. Now next verse. In whom are hid some, all the treasures, what are the treasures? Of wisdom and knowledge. So the treasures we're talking about are the treasures of wisdom. And that knowledge is not knowledge, you know, it's epignosis. Precise, perfect, exact, complete knowledge. Amen? So all those treasures are hid in Christ. In the assured, go back to verse 2 now. Hidden in verse 2. Hidden in the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So the treasures are the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden in Christ. Let me buttress this. Give me Isaiah chapter 3, chapter 33, verse 5. Notice again here there's a reference to Zion. Isaiah 33, verse 5. Thank you. The Lord is exalted. Is it 33? Yes, it should be. Yeah. Yeah, okay. The Lord is exalted, for He dwelleth on high. He has filled Zion, notice Zion, with judgment and righteousness. Next verse. And shall be, come on guys, shall be the stability of thy times and the strength of salvation. And I love that last part there. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Give me this in the Amplified, in the NIV. See what it says. This verse. He will be the sure foundation for your time, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. Look what it says. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. So to get this treasure we're talking about, you must have the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? Honesty and humility of heart. But it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning. Not only is it the beginning, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. See how I'm getting ahead of myself. Well, see how it just tied into humility and, you know. But the essence is that the treasure is knowledge. The knowledge of that God gives. Divine wisdom, divine knowledge, epignosis. Amen? Amen? So wisdom and knowledge. And what it says there, it says wisdom and knowledge. Go back to the KJV now. It says, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. He's not talking about the wisdom you get from papers. He's not talking even about the wisdom you get from, in fact, that's already failing before our very eyes, from all the economists, all the Jim guys that have all the theories. All that wisdom is made into foolishness. We can see it all over the world. Nothing is working as it should. No stability. Everything is shaking. The Lord said, I will shake all nations. And then the desire of the whole earth shall come unto me who is wisdom and knowledge. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What are the riches? Pretty much the same thing. Give me Romans 11:33. Quickly. We're putting the scripture behind this. I trust we're getting something out of this. Romans 11:33. Romans 11:33. Thank you. Oh, the depths. Oh, the depth of the riches. Both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. So the riches are the depth of God's wisdom and knowledge. Again, we're talking about divine wisdom and precise, perfect, exact, complete knowledge. So how unsearchable is judgment and his ways past finding out. Amen? Amen? Give me Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Very familiar verse. Ephesians 1, 17. Ephesians. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, excuse me, the Father of glory may give unto you, unto me, unto I, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Next verse, I think. Yes. That the eyes of your... Talk about the riches. Yeah, there you go. So the eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. These are the true riches. The riches that have been kept, hidden in the inheritance of Christ for his saints. The riches that have been kept hidden in the secret places where the Most High dwelleth. Those are the true riches. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16 somewhere. It says, if you are not going to be unfaithful, if you have been unfaithful in the unrighteous mammon, who shall give you the true riches? In other words, these are the true riches. God is just testing you with those naira and kobo. Please be careful. You know, I'm speaking to myself too. You know, we need to be very, very careful what we do with our finances. Particularly in this day. I want to thank God for the leadership of the house. The way they just give, it's not by chance. So. It's God that's leading them. They give recklessly. When I say, I mean, without any thoughts of recompense. And that they have never lacked in my own, in one day. Something will always happen. God always turns up. It's a grace we need to ask for. I ask for it. God give me that. I know I don't have it yet, but I'll get there. But the essence is, you know, and I know I've been going on this, but there's a scripture just pops in my heart. It says, let him labor, not that he may have so that he can eat, but labor so he may have to give. So the focus of God for your finances is for you to give it out. To help others and fulfill the law of love. So, the Bible says that he that withholdeth more, why am I saying this? More than his meat, and it tendeth to poverty. But there's he that, you know, gives out liberally, and he doesn't lack. I don't know why I said that. Maybe somebody needs it here. Didn't even, it was not even my notes. But this is that the riches of the glory of his inheritance, these are the true riches. Amen? These are the ones that God wants to give us. The riches are the wisdom and the knowledge contained in the Spirit without measure, which is the inheritance of his saints in light. Amen? And these treasures, the Bible says, are hidden in darkness. What is that darkness? As Psalms 18, verse 28. The Lord my God, oh thank you, will enlighten, said, thou will light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. God doesn't want to remain yours, but it's still there. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. God who commanded light to shine in darkness. 2 Corinthians 4. Sorry, I'm getting a little ahead of you. Sorry, forgive me. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of. So that's, God is commanding light to shine out of darkness. But where is the darkness? Has shined where? In our hearts. To do what? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. The light of the knowledge of your inheritance in Christ Jesus. That's what God is telling him. I said, you command light to shine. God will command light to shine in your eye, in your darkness in Jesus' name. Amen? The Bible says in John 8, so he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Talks about having the understanding dark. So the essence is, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in darkness. The darkness of the human mind. God has put in great treasures in your mind and in mine. Hello, somebody. Now, you may not know it, you may not believe it, but it's there. Nobody said amen. Amen. Well, it's there anyway. The treasures of darkness are the treasures of wisdom and knowledge of God that have been obscured by the darkness of the human mind because of the sin substance that is in the mind, the will and emotions, and even in the physical body. That's the darkness. That's the gross darkness we are battling against. Hello, somebody. That's why you got to get it out. That's the point. The whole essence of Christianity is remove that darkness. So what God has put inside is there. Creativity, ingenuity, knowledge of witty inventions, prudence. You can do all. That's where that scripture says, I can do all things through Christ, the Christ nature that gives you strength, light, wisdom, ingenuity. Hello, somebody. Creativity. All the solutions for the planet Earth are in your brain. Only two people said amen. Amen. Hello, somebody. The potential is in every human being. You are made in the image and the likeness of God. Verses, I said you are gods and all of you are children of the Most High. Don't die as amen. Thank you. Get rid of the darkness. And be a God upon the earth. Be as God upon the earth. You know, Paul says, I say, you walk as mere men. God have mercy on us. This potential is in every man, but is obscured by the sin nature that keeps all these treasures of wisdom and knowledge and understanding in darkness. How do we know? Pastors preached it here before. The potential of that is being shadowed, foreshadowed by autistic savants. Who, through no fault of theirs, maybe they have a birth defect or whatever, but somehow, in God's sovereignty, he allows a compensation. There was a particular twin that I watched on TV once. I was amazed. Savant, this guy, they can't tie their shoelaces. They are constantly being monitored by other people. But when it comes to calculation, guy can calculate the date 100 and something years in future. I tell you what date is, what. I don't know what date is next week. God will tell you what the date in 2516 will be. If you take a bowl of, and they actually did it in that particular documentary. They put a bowl of marbles. How many of you know what marbles are? These glass things with color. Different color marbles. But I don't know how many colors were there. Just bought a whole two bowls of marbles. And the one was sitting here on the table, the other was sitting on the other side of the table. And they poured, man, this is serious. They poured those marbles on the table. I'm telling you, before the marble traveled from one end of the table to the other, they had known every single one, all the colors, and how many of each color there was. I'm telling you, I saw it. I saw it. They poured the thing on the table. Now they said, this has red, 19, right, 116, blue. They had come instantly before they rolled from one end of the table to the other. They knew all the colors and all the numbers of each color, and they checked, and it was totally accurate. Now that's awesome. That thing is there. We sometimes see it in action. There was a case pastor also preached. I also read about it in online. This guy had an accident with a baseball. A baseball is a big ball like this. Knocked his head, boom. They had a headache for some time. But after a while, he found that he could calculate anything. Something changed. Now a switch was put on. Now you won't need a baseball. God will not hit you on the head with a baseball bat. What you have to do is remove the obstruction of the light. That's why I was so blessed. I'm sure people must have seen me dancing on Sunday when Pastor was talking about 10 times better than his peers. Said 10 times multiplied by 10 times. Said we only have 10% of our brains in action. The genius has maybe 12-15% tops. Now what would happen if God switches the light on the other 80-90%? That's it. Those are the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. You'll be a marvel in the earth. We know all about it. You know, kings will. That's what they're coming to. Thank you, Pastor Wiley. That is the light they're coming to, not your NEPA. It's got nothing to do with NEPA. NEPA. Okay, they will come and invest in NEPA. Yes, okay, thank God. But they're going to come and say, how on earth do you do that? Hello? This is what's going to break it out now. And the Lord gave me, Father, thank you. The Lord gave me a scripture. He said, can I release this, Lord? He said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament is full of his handiworks. Give me that scripture. The heavens, Psalms 19. Now, Psalm 19. Yeah, thank you. When he gave me this scripture, I said, Lord, I can't say this. He said, what do you mean you can't say it? Where is your heavens? This is your earth. But each of us has a heavens and an earth. That was a new thing. He said, I'll bring forth a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The heavens, the essence of your mind is to declare God's glory. To declare the inheritance that God has reserved for you as a saint in light. And the firmament. The firmament is the skies above the earthly heavens. Even the lowest part of your mind is to show forth the handiwork of God. And it's all in there now. And guess what? And this is the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. This is about to break forth now. In this year of new beginnings. When you have a new beginnings, that means that the old is passed away. All things are become new. And all things are only of Him, God. So it's a new day. Now, let me say, when God was saying that, I say, well, God, I don't feel any different. It doesn't matter. It's not by feeling. It's not what you feel. I still wake up in the morning and I can't remember where I put my keys last night. Or my glasses, like Pastor Riley just said. You put your glasses on, open with your glasses, and you say, oh, goodness, goodness. Don't worry. It's going to be a suddenly. You're not necessarily going to. It's not going to be a gradual thing. The Bible says the Lord shall suddenly come to his temple. Where is that temple? So it's not something that you say, Now it could be some people, manifestations of the same. But if you don't see, it doesn't mean it's not. It's just that It's God that is going to do that final work. It's going to be a work, a sovereign work by God instantly. One day is not there. The next day, boom. It's a God of sovereignty. That's how it's going to be. That's how it is going to be. And that's why you know it's not you. Because you could, I mean, one day you couldn't remember you put your glasses, and the next day your mind is clear. That's the word. Clear. Having no part, dark. Mike Solomon, thank you. Solomon didn't do anything. God gave it to him. And thank you, Sister Yemisi. And a greater than Solomon is here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So folks, thank God. To God be the glory. But the essence is, that's why you are doing what you are doing. So you can declare and manifest the glory of God that is in your mind, your will and emotions, the light of God that is there. And some people are picking it already. It's one of our four people in this church. I sent a text to Mommy Sarah a couple of days ago. And I said, I hear you are praying for Nigeria on Saturday. Please, oh, can I join? Because I know something's about to break forth. I don't know, but I know something is about to break forth. Of course, trust Mommy. Yeah, come, yeah, no problem. Something's about. See, they're picking it. Even the nations are picking it somehow. It's like, Lord, what is this thing? But it's because his secret is with the righteous. That's why you and I know. That's why you and I, we dwell by the grace of God, talking about that. We dwell in a secret place with the Most High. So God reveals his secret. That's why his secret is with the righteous. He tells us ahead of time so we can key in and be part of the first fruits. Suddenly. Pastor says, a quick work. The Lord do. This is what's about to break forth. So all the prayers we're doing, the cluster prayers, the prayers, all the thank God of the prayers, Mommy bequeathed also is part of it. Mommy and Pastor bequeathed the prayers of the church. It's part of it to get more and more people. Pastors, you know, announced that so about a year or so ago that, you know, all over people are now praying for this manifestation of the glory. It's all part of it. It's all going to come to an end in this season. And in this year, if you dare believe for it. The year is only what? This is just the second month. Ah. The pastor said it's already been released. It's just to manifest. It's working already. For the Lord will arise and have mercy upon Zion. Now, why is this so? Well, like we said, the set time to favor us has come. We've done all that. And it's by the mercy of God that this favor will come upon Zion. Amen? But, and then, of course, the reason for it to happen in Zion is because Zion is the one that's supposed to bring joy to the whole world. But I said, Zion is beautiful in elevation. The joy of the whole world. That's why it's happening now. Because Zion must arise now from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. And the second reason, I was sharing this with Pastor Wale when he was sharing some other wonderful stuff with us on Tuesday last. There's a problem in the, of course, we know that just by looking. The economy of the whole world is shaking. And the nation, oh, thank you, Jesus. The nation that everybody was looking to, China, has begun to falter. Not only that, it's faltering badly itself. China is at 12.7% growth, GDP. Now it's 6. And you know what? They don't even trust the figures. Because they don't know what exactly is sustaining the 6.2. The market has crashed. They've tried to intervene several times. Each time they tried to intervene, it failed. The only surefire, oh God is great, sir. The only surefire economy is the United States. And it's God that did it. In spite of all their woes, United States is still the one that, if you go there, you will make a profit. China, everybody is watching and saying, be careful, oh. Because we don't know what their figures are. You see, and I said, Pastor, I said, unrighteousness cannot exalt a nation. It's impossible. It is against God's principle. Unrighteousness will not exalt a nation. The nations that are standing strong and I will stand strong in the earth are those that acknowledge the righteousness of God. They may have other flaws. So interesting. Pastor, I was watching this guy. Yeah, there's a fan. Thank you. That's it. That's why the foundation has been laid. I was listening to this guy, Ted Cruz, the guy that won Iowa in the Republican Party. You know what the first thing he said? To God be the glory. I said, that's the man. Have you ever heard Donald Trump? Godless fellow. But this is that, you know, righteousness is what is good. So if a nation is righteous, it's not righteous, it can make a lot of noise. Like Russia. Well, Russia's a little bit, they're not too, but there's too much noise. And what is happening is, China has population, they have, but the ingenuity, the creativity, they steal from the Americans. Corporate theft, they call it corporate espionage. They take everything from America by force through cyber attack. That's how they know what to do. But the real creativity comes from America, from the UK. We did a research last time. Pastor, I remember Pastor was speaking last time and said 95% of the patents for creative patents in the earth. I think about 2007 or so, he did that research. 95% comes from UK, from America, and from UK. Mostly America. God's own country. And it's still so today. Hasn't changed. The other part of it is Israel. We did that also. Israel is 0.03% of the world's population, all of them together. And yet 25% of the Nobel Prizes go to Israel. That is not an accident. That is what we call a statistical aberration. That is God. God specializing in statistical aberrations to show that I am the one. So Lord is looking there, the world is looking for an economic champion now that will pull the nations of the earth out. And guess why they're coming to Nigeria? Number one is prophetic. But the truth of the matter is this, Nigeria is the trigger to the whole of Africa. That's why I give that to Lumelu something. The other said, your idea can transform Africa. And they're actively looking for ideas. It's coming. The church will start, but it's also to fall upon the peoples. That's why we pray that God will now give the Zion Church and the peoples of Nigeria. Because if it comes out of the Zion Church, it will be a blessing to all around. That glory. Why is America so innovative? Because there's life in the air. Released by their forefathers. And some of them are still releasing even today. They have generations of Christians. Which is our own first generation. God is going to do a quick work. Amen? So they become innovative. They're not even trying to. And when you in Nigeria go there, you two get innovative. You begin to see things that Amala Ujeku. You know, they will block everything. Amala will block everything. You just be there. But there's a light of life in the air. It's been there for hundreds of years. It still has an influence impacting their hearts. We will get there in Jesus' name. Amen. That's it though. So they need an economic champion. And Nigeria must now rise and manifest the glory of God, not only in power, thank God for that, but especially in inventiveness, creativity. Amen. And what's going to happen is that it will, the rising of Nigeria will trigger the same thing in all of Africa. And then Africa will be the one that will now pull the present. It used to be the Asian Tigers. How do you remember Asian Tigers? Their growth has gone. The only one that is still growing is South Korea because it has a Christian background. North Korea, but we're North Korea, you know, Vietnam and all these other ones, they're just they're struggling like all the other nations. But South Korea still doing well by the help of God. Amen. So what are we saying? So how is all this going to come to pass? Well, the truth of the matter is, I remember Pastor preaching about the human brain. Are we getting something out of this? I'm going to close this. Thank you, Lord. Pastor preaching about the human brain being a micro universe. 600 billion neurons. Ah. Popped into my heart. I was watching a movie the other day. It was a documentary on TSTV. One of those days I was believing God for strength to get up. I said, well, if I still haven't got the strength, I can watch this documentary. And it was instructive. You know what they've done? Boy, I said innovation is a wonderful thing. The Americans have built a computer program that can map the brain of a rat. They built it, and they're now doing experiments in using artificial connectors to bridge. How many people know what a synapse is? Okay, there's a connection between different neurons in the brain. To bridge the synapse and see if a current, if an electrical current will flow through the original, connection through that synapse and elicit the same action in the actions of a rat. They're doing it and it's happening. So you can, ideally, you can put a synthetic neuron. What's that connection? A synthetic neuron inside. The brain, and it will run the electricity through. Anyway, that's a rat. But where I'm going is this. They map the brain of a rat. Just a rato. Ratus, ratus. Hey. Don't laugh. God is great. And it now put the brain map on a screen. You know, it was like? It was like walking through a forest of connections. I said, say rat, Lily. And you know what? They were showing it as the man was talking. The man spoke for about 5 minutes and we still didn't get to the opposite side. So you will see the rat brain as a brain of a rat. And for 5 minutes, they were showing how, it's like walking through one part, it starts off where there's not too much of the neurons. Then it starts and there's one part is completely jumbled together. But it's like walking through a field, and then you get to the middle, and it's all jumbled, and you walk a little bit more, and finally it gets a little bit less and less, and finally you get on the other side. I say, rat brain. If you see the number of connections, oh boy, awesome, thank you. I say, that's a rat that you do like this. Now, can you imagine what the human brain will look like? A universe entirely unexplored. Only 10%. And here's what God told me. I want to share this. Help me, Lord. How close? I'll be getting some out of this. I'm trying to fire us up. Time has come. God told me, said, when in the actual created universe, which is deadly, is expanding on every side at the speed of light, when a new planet is formed. It forms what they call a supernova. It's a blinding light. Now that blinding light may be 1,000 light years away, but when it explodes in that resurgence of light, you can see the light here on Earth. It's coming from 1,000 light years away. So that's what's going to happen. So that blinding light of the glory of God that is going to come upon our minds, our emotions, will bring forth what I call supernova innovations. They're going to be innovations that the whole of Nigeria itself alone cannot contain. It's going to transform the whole of the earth. It's going to transform nations. It's going to go away. And he gave me examples. I mean, I wrote some of them here. But I said, the heavens declare the glory of God. Hey, where is it now? Incredible photographic memory, language learning skills, artistic skills, musical skills, mathematical, computational skills. He said, these are supernovas, examples of supernovas. Einstein, E is equal to MC squared. That is a major breakthrough. And until today, thank you, Pastor Andrew, forever is a light. There's no, it is, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Talk about the invention of calculus. Calculus did not exist before Isaac Newton invented it. There was no place for it. But God shone the light upon that man's mind. And he brought forth something out of totally nothing. That's a supernova. Until today, anywhere you go in the world, they're using calculus. And they'll continue using it forever. Internet was invented. Who gave him the understanding? If you do this, you have a worldwide web. It's still expanding today. That's a supernova. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Now, there's going to be power. There's going to be gifts of healings. But these are the ones that the whole world will say, huh? Can anything good come out of night? There is. That's why they're going to come. Because they want to see the people and say, hey? Say, now. Nah. Then now tell them, this is it's God that you say, this God, I must know him. And this is where we are going, folks. I talked about the Maxwell's law of thermodynamics till today. Folks, I'm telling you what's coming. We Bible says, oh shit, let me try and close. I need to close. Eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him and serve him. I see Nobel Prizes here. My pastor said, not in literature, thank God for literature. We start there. But also, physics. Hello, it's God now. Chemistry, biology, you know, engineering. We're looking at them here and beyond. Folks, there's no accident in these things. Okay, so now, what must you and I do? Quickly now, well, not quickly, we'll just go through it because it's very important. First and foremost, the word that God gave me was continue. Continue what we're doing. Using the blood. Blood of cleansing, the word of God. I was saying that keepeth the word of God, him verily is the love of God perfected. That love is the character of Christ. And the power of the Holy Spirit, praying the Spirit in tongues. The Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Give me 7, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Thank you. Eye has not seen us. We'll come back to that in a minute. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us do what? Cleanse ourselves from most of all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It's that fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. That's the instruction of wisdom. So, you know what this, do you know what the problem is in the church in this life? And others, really. Lack of the fear of the Lord. It's not so, it's going to happen. It's not about the lack of the fear of the Lord has been the greatest hindrance to the growth of the church spiritually. That's why there's no wisdom. The thing that I'm preaching to you, you may not hear it elsewhere. It doesn't mean it's not true, but they just won't preach it because there's no immediate, instantaneous gratification economically. Hallelujah. You got to wait until God does it. And they don't like to wait. Hello? So replacing the you flush out all the filthiness of flesh and the spirit through travailing prayer, consistent travailing prayer. The Bible says that my little children, whom I travail, Galatians 4:19, till Christ be formed, not only just formed, then perfected in us. Amen. And then until we do that, consistent daily prayer. Then we also learn, the pastor was teaching us, mom was telling us and showing us, the key is humility. Folks, humility is that's what opens the door, the key. And if you learn the meekness and humility of God, Matthew 11:28-30 says, Lord says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly heart, you shall find rest unto your souls. The soul will come to a place of rest. You're not agitated anymore, and you're learning to. Hello, you know, the Lord told me something, Pastor Wally. He said, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, had to depend on the Father and the Son to learn how to be a man. Took off all his omnipotence, everything, left in heaven, and came down to earth to learn through the help of the Holy. He didn't know. Oh, that's amazing. Because he would have known if he had his omnipotence with him. If he had his omniscience with him, he would have known how to be a man, but he left all that behind and became an embryo. Well, we have ways to go. Talk about meekness a little bit. But anyway, the essence is this. You know you're going to do the same thing in reverse? You have to put off the old man. And then trust in the Spirit, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. To put on the new man, which is created in Christ Jesus. That's what we're doing now. So you too have to take something off and put something on. Just like he took off his omnipotence and omniscience and his, all his divine powers and attributes and had to learn to become a man. So also we too must put off the nature of man created in sin through Adam's fall. put that off and put on the nature of God and become as gods. So that's what the Bible says. It says he took your unrighteousness and gave you his righteousness. So you can be the righteousness of God in him. Put off, cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Thank you. All right, so learn the meekness. And it must be submitted to spiritual fathers. Isaiah 51, 1 verse 3. 1 and 3. Isaiah 51, 1 to 3. It says, look unto Abraham and Sarah, the rock from whence you are hewn. Look unto the rock from whence you are hewn. He said, because verse 3 there is very important. It says, for the Lord, give me verse 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. Comfort her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden. The desert like the garden of the Lord. And then joy and gladness shall be found therein, giving of thanks and melody. But that's when you look to your spiritual fathers. And the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and 6, humble yourself and he'll exalt you in due season. Proverbs 11:3, where the lowly is wisdom. Now I'm going to hit this and we'll close there by the help of the Holy Spirit. Okay, you study and read the Word of God. It's the Word of God that gives God the ability to speak to us. The Bible says that, you know, that the thought that the man of God may be perfect, you know, thoroughly prepared unto every good work. So we read the Word and study it consistently, daily, pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We've said that. But where I want to finish off is this issue of the things that eyes have not seen, neither has ear heard. How do you get that? Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse, let me see. Oh dear, help me, Lord. Verse 7. Yeah, thank you. Now, it says 1 Corinthians, Pastor taught this, you know, with respect to, for example, when we want to preach a message, like, for example, today as I was preaching, as I was preparing, I was doing this, by speaking the mystery of God, by praying in tongues. We pray in tongues for an hour straight, you know, depending on, you know, how many messages, each message an hour straight, basically. So we pray in tongues throughout. What you're doing is that you're praying, you're speaking mysteries by the Spirit, concerning the things that I'm going to be saying and sharing with you. And as we now come to preach the Word, Pastor taught us, and that's what we're doing since, and it works beautifully, like a dream. The things that you didn't even think to say will come out by the Spirit. That's how it works. But here I'm now beginning to, the Lord now shared this and brought me back this. Said, this also works for this treasures of wisdom and knowledge that we're talking about. As you're praying, your Bible says you're speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery. As he that speaketh in tongues, speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh mysteries unto God. So even the hidden, where is it hidden? Dark places, in the darkness, the treasures of darkness, in the mind and the will and emotions. So even the hidden, which God has ordained before the world unto our glory, not his. So what you're doing when you're speaking in this way, constantly communion prayer, constantly communion with God, what you're doing, you're speaking out these hidden mysteries. What are these mysteries? Next verse. Which one? No, next verse. Verse 9. As written, now, but as it is written, eye has not seen, that your mind's eye has not seen. Not talking about physical eye. Yes, there. Then that's a literal explanation, but there's a spiritual prophetic application there. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared. It's there. It's been prepared in the inheritance you have in glory. How is it going to come out? Through your mind, your will and emotions. But how are you going to perceive it? Next verse. But God, just say this out. But God hath revealed them. Then what? The things that eyes have not seen, that has ears heard, that has entered the hearts of man, the things of the wisdom of God that God has prepared for us who love and serve him. He says, God has revealed them. How? Unto us by his Spirit. Notice it is past tense. Has. It's a done deal. Why are you not getting it? Because you're not doing what he said. Says, for the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. Next verse. For what man knoweth the things of the man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. How does the Spirit of God download it to you? Next verse. Okay. But we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Next verse, I believe. Yeah. Which things we also speak. How? Not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's the key, folks. Constant communion. Just be blasting. Once you've done your morning prayer, you've broken the heavens, your heavens are open, just throughout the day be tonguing. All those things you are talking are real, because it's God speaking for you, through you. And he's telling you, even though you can't understand it, but your mind, pictures are being painted for your mind to grasp. One day, you will just wake up and bang, the light will come on. Hey, where did this come from? How come? Pastor Wally, I'm sure all the pastors know what I'm talking about. I'm sure someone's too. Like this word that the Lord gave me says, the heavens declare the glory of God. I have been reading that passage for years. I have never seen it in that life. That's how it happens. And it's the same way that supernova will come one day. You just go and blast. Light, be, thank you. And there was light. But you see, did you get the interesting details? You would have been speaking that thesis. It's being formed in your mind. It is there. It says he has prepared it before the world began. He's prepared it for our glory. It's there. But it's hidden. But when you begin to pray in tongues with a background of traveling prayer, God begins to reveal it to you over time. That's how it's going to happen. That's what's going to bring forth the treasures of darkness. The hidden riches stored in secret places. Amen? This is it, folks. It seems so simple, doesn't it? Seems so simple. This is revelation. That says God has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So this is it, folks. So as we apprehend the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches, secret places, God will do a new thing in our hearts by his mercy in our lives and bring forth in us a new heavens and a new earth. And the light of revelation only, the light of ingenuity, of creativity. And we're going to be a marvel by the power of the Spirit without measure. This is happening in this season, in the reign of our Cyrus. Because it's unto Cyrus that God will give the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches stored in secret places. Let us pray. I trust we're all going to get something. I just to encourage and to give us something to hold on to. I tell you, folks, they're coming. Though this nation is the first of the first fruits of the end time, and there has never been a Zion church on the earth before. It's about God saving the best for last. Zion. There has never been a Zion church. So we don't even know this way we are going. That's why you need to keep it 2,000 cubits and follow after spiritual authority. The anointing from the head will flow down to the rest of the body. This light is available to every man. It's your treasures are already implanted. Now it's just a revelation, manifestation. That's what we're praying for. A manifestation of the fullness of the Spirit without measure. We usually think about it in terms of miracles and signs and wonders. What greater wonder could it be than one person come up with a solution for every need of energy in the planet? Is there? God knows them. God knows what we need. The Lord knows it. All he's looking for is somebody that's going to be faithful to use it and to do all of his will with it. It's going to make the church the most powerful economic block in the entire world. This is how we're going to do it. By the treasures of darkness and a release of the hidden riches and secret places. Hallelujah. Let's ask the Lord to help us. It's going to be by mercy. God says, God will arise and have mercy upon Zion for the set time. Yea, the time to favor has come. Amen. May the Lord enlighten our darkness in Jesus' name. Ask the Lord to help.
in a darkness, O Lord. Give us wisdom and insight, O Lord, to desire, to discern, to do, to be well pleasing, enlightened, enlightened. Darkness, O Lord, we'll beseech you, O Lord.
Give it as a prayer.
Lighten our darkness, O Lord.
Give us wisdom, give us
wisdom, Lord. Give us wisdom and insight, O Lord.
Respond to the word that has come to mind. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, we confess our sins. So we cleave with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, we come under the covering of our fathers to come to say thank you for your word tonight, showing unto us that in this season of new beginnings, in this land and beyond, you will enable us by your mercy for new beginnings to tap into the secret places and bring forth in our hearts, our minds, wills and emotions, and even in our bodies, the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, even the treasures of divine wisdom, knowledge and understanding that will catapult your Zion Church and this land of destiny where the rivers divide into the fullness of your purpose, causing a total recovery restoration and a release of this land into our prophetic jubilee. I understand this. And so I come to say thank you. You will all now enlighten my darkness. Cause the eyes of my understanding to be enlightened by your life, that is in that, by the light that is in your life, so that, Lord God, my heavens will declare your glory, and Lord God, my mind will be full of your handiworks in this day, releasing me into a season of recovery, restoration, and release into jubilee. I ask for mercy, O Lord, to give me this fresh start. So I will continue to use the blood, the word, and the power of the Spirit, cleansing my heart and flesh from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, driving out all darkness occasioned by the sin nature. Help me, Lord God, to learn meekness and lowliness of heart, and to be in submission to my spiritual fathers. Thank you for mercy to constantly pray in the Spirit, so I will receive a revelation of the things that eye has not seen, thy ears have not heard, the things that have not entered into the heart of man, even those things that you prepared for us to be able to manifest your glory. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because in this season of favor, you will bring forth these treasures and manifest your glory in me and through me to the nations of the earth, to our nation and the nations of the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in spirit. Ribila sakaro. Sapalo come zambale biloso. Enzala. Rimbilema sakyaro. Rambo sakatum gotta be up and down. Get it. Rimbilema sakrao. Rambarao. Paramrao. Paramirao. Paramirao. Rimbilema bagaza. Rambaro. Somebody below. Maribam. Karagon kasa kambai. Rambabu. Bere sakanda. Ribe sakum kumbai. Rimbilema. Rimbilema sakre. Zeleno. Medemai. Medema sakre. Rimbele. Rombala bagabagatumi. Yampambali. Belaka. Hanibarom nemlo. Marakasa kambaba sepentabiaro. Rambi. Ramiaro, Medimanasa, Ramala Macasa, Ramba, Sebeke, Tombayabello, Ramino, Shere, Kenkeli, Renamayaman of Zambari Vigano, Rembelanca Sakara, Rambelo, Sakanabalia, Balano, Mesakandi, Rambele, Vinomakazaka, Kakoroko de Kese, Rambele, Vinomakazaka. Arise, O Lord, have mercy on Zion. Yea, the set time to favor Zion has come. In Jesus' name. I say, Father.